But you know what you've done that 90% of people don't do? You took action.
Yeah.
Right. You actually did. You went to Ames. You decided to do this, where a lot of us just get paralyzed, don't take action, and we end up in the same Groundhog Day as we talked about. Hey, Conrad, welcome to the Corporate Escapee Podcast.
Thank you, Brett.
No, definitely looking forward to this one. And longtime listeners will know that I am a Cyclone supporter and you are Cyclone number three that's coming on the pod. But not for maybe the reasons folks think, right? Because your story really intrigued me. You're just doing some really interesting things. And I really want to show people what's possible, that even without a ton of experience, the only thing that's holding you back is yourself, right? So that's kind of teasing the episode a little bit. But for the audience, why don't you just share a little bit about your background, what you're working on now, and I'm going to take you back in time a little bit.
Okay, well, my name is Conrad Hawley, and I'm from Kansas City. I played a year on the Kansas football team as a quarterback, and I quit. And then I learned, you know, how to move forward through that journey. And I lived in Colorado for a little bit, and I was working jobs, and it was a bit lonely. And I decided I want to be on a team again. So somehow I wound up at Iowa State men's basketball for 3 years, and now I do motivational speaking in Kansas City and then sometimes in Ames and Des Moines, but really I'm flexible to go anywhere. And then I do private quarterback training and basketball training as well. So really three things. I do some mental coaching, which is virtual like this, on just trying to build the mind for younger athletes and whatnot. And yeah, that's pretty much what I'm up to.
Yeah. And the nickname is the CEO and may not be what our normal corporate listeners are thinking of, but why don't you explain the nickname?
So the nickname is the Chief Energy Officer, and it was my job at Iowa State to essentially make sure that the group, the practice, the games, anything had a ton of energy. And if anybody was being a Debbie Downer or a victim, it was my job to pull them out of that and inspire my team to have the best day every day, because they need to worry about doing their job. And I can help them do their job better if I can be the best teammate, the best friend, the best kind of, you know, hype man for them. And so that was my job every day. And it was very tangible, which I appreciated.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And I think maybe we'll have you as our community CEO, right? Because all of us go through the process of you know, being the victim and having down days. It's natural. But what I really found interesting about your story is you embrace that role. We're in the age of what's in it for me, right? You know, as early as junior high, you start seeing some of these kids that I want the social media following. I need to be in the best light, or I'm transferring the portal. And you embraced, you embraced that role, but two, you left a scholarship at Kansas to basically walk on at Iowa State, right? Where you took on, if I read that right, student loans, right, as part of the process. So you actually really made an investment in yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it teaches you a lot when you pay to be somewhere every day and you're not guaranteed a spot there, and your whole entire job that day is to make someone else be better, and you're paying to do that. And so that was really pretty cool. It was a huge blessing, and all the stuff I've learned at Iowa State as far as just, you know, how to be a better teammate, how to be a better leader, how habits are involved within your day to day. And just like the how to deal with adversity has been a total blessing. So I don't view life as like super transactional. And you scratch my back, I scratch your back. You give me dollars, I give you something else. I like to go more into helping and serving other people because I believe that's my calling. And it's been cool. The loans will take care of themselves, hopefully.
Well, it'll work out, right? But the beauty of this is you kind of had a vision, even though you didn't know what it was. You knew something wasn't right, right? Yeah. And that's kind of remarkable at an earlier age. To then have the discipline to, I know Iowa State's known as at least under the current coach, right, have a very structured, what's the best way to define that?
It's a military program. Culture, man. Yeah, I love
now,
it.
Now, were you, is that the, kind of the background you came from and you fit right in, or was this something you had to adapt to once you got there?
No, I wouldn't say I came from that, but I'm not scared to get up early, get yelled at, you know, put someone else's needs above my own. That doesn't bother me any. And so I enjoyed it a lot. And I love how disciplined it was and how routine oriented. Like, I basically did the same thing every single Monday through Thursday for 3 years of my life. And I love that as far as just being able to, as far, I'm not talking about, you know, maybe like personal wise, but just working out. Like, hey, at 10 a.m., I'm doing this every single day and I never skip. And it builds consistency. And those habits that I built up through that program show up for me in my day-to-day life, when now there's nobody yelling at you and nobody holding account of you accountable. And the only person is the man in the mirror, and you can't cheat him. So it's been a good time.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, we were talking a little bit offline at the end of my corporate career, it was going through the motions, and it was the same day. It was Groundhog Day every day, right? But yeah, working for somebody else, not doing my own thing. And I know this audience is if they're listening to this podcast, probably 90% of them are in that spot right now, thinking, man, there's got to be something. This isn't what I'm meant to do anymore, but this is all I've known. And again, part of bringing on folks like you is to say, hey, here's what's possible, right? You don't have 25 years experience, but yet you're in business for yourself. You're following what you thought was your purpose, right? To jumpstart this.
Yeah. I mean, I believe I was called to serve people and to pour into people. And if anything, be a teacher or a friend or a big brother, because I know my favorite people in life have been my favorite teachers, my favorite coaches, people I view as big brother. And so I love to do that for other people. And then just to inspire other people. And I've found that, you know, through the training stuff, which I'll do like on weeknights and whatnot, I can do that with young kids. And I can teach them, hey, you know, life is not about all the Instagram videos you see of all the cool basketball drills or what you see Patrick Mahomes do on TV. It's about being Tiger Woods, which is 500 3-foot putts a day, every single day until you get amazing at it. It's pouring into your teammate even when you're not the man. Or if you are the man, it's your job to step up and lead your team and win. And so I get to pour into people that way. And then when I get the chance to go talk to teams, businesses, even communities, I've talked to an entire community before. And that was awesome to be able to inspire people that, hey, no matter if you're the best, you're the worst, you can provide value, you can use daily habits, you can learn how to be a leader, and everybody's a leader. And you can learn how to give and be the best teammate you can be to help your team be better. Because we're all on a team. And whether that's your family, your friends, if you're in a relationship, you're on a team with that person. And so my calling is to be able to pour into others about that message and then learn from those people. And you're right, I don't have 25 years of experience. I've been doing this 2 months. It's stressful as heck. And I have no idea what I'm doing. And I've learned all these skills that I've never been taught before. But that's awesome because, like you said offline, you can do anything you want in life. And once you make the decision of, I know what I want to do, I know what it takes to do it, can I stomach the struggle that it takes? Because in my opinion, the bigger the struggle, the better reward. You have to have struggle in life in order to get to where you want to get to. And anything that you didn't struggle that you got, you probably don't value it. And I know that through these last 2 months, like, there's been plenty of time. I'm like, man, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? You know, I'm financially stressed. I don't have as much free time as I like. I can't do this. I can't do that. But it makes you better. And eventually you get to the point where I'm like, okay, bring it on. Now I'm ready to pour into other people. Now I'm ready to help. And I think that gets you where you'd like to be.
Yeah. And you're in control, right? Because I think that's one of the biggest things I've found, again, with the folks that have escaped corporate, right? Because in corporate, it is every person for themselves. You are on a team, but for the most part, you're trying to survive, keep your job so you don't get laid off. And it's just, you're not working for yourself. And I found most people still, even though, again, Gen X, we're in late 40s, 50s, still want to work hard, right? It's not a matter of hard work. It's just, what are we doing? Who are we doing it for?
Yep.
And what are we going to get out at the end of the line? And the other thing that you mentioned, you figured out early, almost to a person of folks, I probably had almost, and I know I've had over 1,000 conversations with people. It is that go-giver mentality. It's right. How do I give back? How do I teach? How do I share with others? Which again, for 20 years, we were in a corporate box, right? They just keep you, don't rock the boat. Don't make mistakes. Do your job. Go home, get paid. And in hindsight, I look back and I'm like, what the hell was I doing? But it was the right thing to do. And like I said, now we're trying to get people to say, take a chance. It is not as risky. I almost argue it's more risky staying in corporate right? Doing yeah. things you're not unhappy with and getting there. The one thing that I thought was interesting, or many things, obviously, but going back to your football days, you knew that you were going to wanted to walk away, or it just wasn't right for you. But that would have been an easy path, right? You 4 years, you scholarship, you get, you know, you move into corporate America, get your job, et cetera. What was the moment you just knew that wasn't your path? And how hard was it to make that decision to say, I'm out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I was at KU, I went there and I kind of knew from like right in the beginning, like maybe I don't necessarily love this, because when you go play college sports, like the dudes who stay there for 4 years, they love it, because it is not, it's not high school sports. It's not youth sports. It's a job. It's well over 40 hours a week on top of being a student. And so it's a legit thing. And so I kind of realized, you know, hey, I might not necessarily want to be able to, I might not want to do this long term or like the whole way. And so I'm getting ready towards the end of the year. I was like, I'm going to finish the year out. And I knew I wanted to quit, but I come from a super big football family. And so my stepdad played in the NFL for many years, and my mom loves football. My little brother is a stud football player. And so like, we just live, eat, sleep, and breathe football. That's all it's talked about at dinner. And so that's just how you do it. And I decided, I was like, man, I know like this is going to break their heart. I know I may get judgment. I know it may be hard to come home. And I know that I'm giving away $250,000 just point blank on a good degree. And, but I knew I had something inside of me to where I'm a problem solver. And no matter how down and out I am, I just have that confidence that I'm going to figure this out. And I'm going to do my very best. And if I can't figure it out, I'm going to lean on someone else who's better than me to help me. And so I quit. And I kind of got like, you know, booted out of the house. They're like, you know, you're not going to keep living here and eating and staying for free. Like, you need to go do something. So like, okay, dang. So I moved to Colorado. And when I started living in Colorado, what I had learned about myself at KU was I was obsessed with others' attention. Others' approval, social media followers. I wanted a blue check mark so bad on Instagram. I wanted attention when I would go out into town. I wanted NIL. I wanted the coaches to notice me. And everything was just about me. And I would lie a lot, and I would hide things from other people. And I would look in the mirror and just be like, you know, I'm telling people all these things, but I don't do these things myself. And I'm telling people they should do this, and I don't live this way myself. And I am you know, I'm wanting all these things, but why? Why? Well, it's due to my own insecurity. And so I sat there for about 5-6 months, and I just kind of went to war with myself every day. And the more hard it was, and the more uncomfortable it was, and the more I had never done this before, the more attracted I was to it. So I was like, you know what? I've never been selfless. I'm going to try it out. I've never been mentally tough. I'm just going to do stuff that mentally tough people do. I've never been a great teammate. If I ever get the chance again, I'm going to be the best teammate who ever lived. And I've never done any of these things. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to figure it out. And so I did that for like 6 months, and I grinded and I grinded and I grinded. And then I was lonely. I mean, I was 19 years old, and I would go to work every day with 40, 50, 60-year-old people, which there's nothing wrong with them, but we don't speak the same language.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Yeah, and you know, it's just different stuff, different. I didn't have any peers, I didn't have any friends, and I grew to miss that, and I miss being on a team, and I miss being challenged, and so it was super hard. But like the times where I felt the most down and out, like I can't do this, like I can't pull through, have been the most best times and the most rewarding times, and that goes back to struggle and reward, and that was a struggle quitting. And kind of have an identity crisis and kind of being, you know, judged by a lot of people. Because when you quit football and you go in there like as the man and people think you're so cool, then I realized I didn't have as many friends as I thought I did. And all the people who are being nice to me, saying nice things, well, they're all talking trash on me now. And that hurts you too if you don't know who you are and how you feel. And so it was hard for sure, but it was totally worth it. And I wouldn't change it for the world. Wouldn't change it.
Yeah, I think that it's such a good point, because most people would just say, the easy way is I'll just keep working and figure out. And then all of a sudden, you know, 15 years have passed and you're even more unhappy doing something.
Yep.
But what I thought, again, was interesting is, and that's why I loved having people on this podcast that do different things. You didn't just go, I'm going to go find a team. You could have gone and found something local, right? Yep. And joined. You're like, no, I want to walk on to a top 20 program, right? And you hadn't played basketball in what, 3 years?
3 years, yep.
At that point.
Yep.
So maybe just talk briefly about
how,
right? Because this is where I tell people that unless sometimes people in corporate see, unless it's right in front of me, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, no, there's paths. You just got to find what that path is. So.
Yeah, I mean, that was a super weird thing, honestly. So like in the beginning of May, before I went to Iowa State, I enrolled like the second week of June at Iowa State. So in the beginning of May, 6 weeks before, I was shooting hoops at a gym I worked at because I worked three jobs. I worked at a gym so I could work out for free. I worked at a clothing store because it had good hourly wages. And I worked at a restaurant so I could make some tip money and I could eat for free. And yeah, that's what I would do. And I was shooting hoops at the gym one morning. I was like, you know what? I could play in the NBA. Like I could do this. Like this isn't that hard. And I was like making shots and you're dreaming. When you shoot hoops, you dream. And that's one thing that I love about being a human being is just like always be that kid who has dreams and then go take action on the dreams. And that's not to say that all your dreams are going to come true or you deserve to have them come true, but you'll get closer through time. And so I was just dreaming. I told my dad, I was like, Dad, you know, I was a decent player in high school. I played on a really good AAU team that has a ton of connections. Like, what could we reach out to them and say, hey, I want to walk on somewhere or I want to play at a smaller school for free college. And I'm not like a good player at all, but I'm very competitive. And like my college coach, TJ, he gave me great advice. He said, how do you make your team win and the other team lose? And I took that to heart. And so I could figure out how to do that. So I knew I could provide value. And so he reached out to a bunch of schools and then Iowa State got involved. And Iowa State was like, hey, we don't have a walk-on spot filled. We need a high energy guy. We need a practice dummy. And we need a guy who's going to be a good teammate. And I was like, well, I've never been any of those three, but I'm the man for you. And so I had this assistant coach there. His name is Kyle Green. He would call me every Wednesday night and I would be working. And I would tell my coworker like, hey, I need to take this call. And I'd like still be on the job. So that was bad of me, but it was cool. And I would take the phone call and I would sit outside. It was Jack's Outdoor Goods in Fort Collins, Colorado. And I would sit outside and he would ask me all these questions and he just wanted to learn all about me. And of course, I'm trying to sell myself and put my best foot forward. And so he was like, you know what? We think we're going to do this. Like we're speaking the same language. So I was like, okay, cool. So TJ called me and he was like on the Cyclone bus tour and this is like late May. And he was like, hey, you know, tell me about yourself. So I just told him and he was like, why do you want to be on the team? And I told him and, you know, I'm trying to put my best foot forward. And he said, okay, sounds good. See you in June. So I was like, oh, sweet. I'm on the team. That was pretty easy. Like I didn't even send video workout footage, like nothing. They just knew I was 6'5" and that was it. So I got there. Like I just tried to provide great energy and I would just be crazy and I'd be a great teammate and I'd play really hard when I went in and I would just try to get to know them because I didn't know anything about any of them. And I knew nothing about basketball. I still don't know much about basketball, but you know, I didn't know anything about my coaches. I didn't know their names. I had no idea what the program was like. I was walking into a situation totally blind and I was like, you know what? I'm going to find the biggest, baddest dude. I'm going to learn all about him. I'm going to become friends with him. And then all the other dudes, I'm going to learn all about them. And I'm just going to try and be the best teammate possible to them. And then the coaches, I'm just going to try to earn their respect by being a consistent dude who won't go away. And so I did that for the whole summer. And TJ did not talk to me one time, not one time. And I was like, man, normally the coach will talk to you. And I'm like, there's only like 12 of us. So, I mean, like, dang, I figured he would just say what's up by now. And we have a break in August. And so we come back from the break and, you know, I'm getting ready to like start my sophomore year of college and all that. And I'm sitting down eating one day, get some extra workouts in at Two Cup, which is our practice facility. And he says, hey, Conrad, I just want to let you know I don't hate you. And I was like, dude, I don't hate you either, man. And he was like, when I first met you in your first day of practice, I thought you were a phony and you were a fake. then in everything you did for the first week, I thought you were fake again. And I was like, no way, this guy has this much energy and he's can be this good of a teammate. And I didn't say anything to you, but I was impressed with that. And then the whole summer was like a tryout. And I just want to let you know that you're on the team. And I was like, dude, I already thought I was on the team. I mean, I enrolled here. I'm in classes. I live with people. Like, dude, I thought I was on the team. And so, you know, that was a great lesson for me because, like, when I was at KU, all I wanted was the coach's praise. And then when I was at Iowa State, that was awesome to hear. And it made my day. And it's still a great story I like to tell. And it makes me feel good every time. But that's not why I was doing it. I was doing it because I wanted to be the best teammate. And so that's how I got to Iowa State. And then the CEO nickname came after that. And then I did that for 3 years. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And again, I think the give, right? Give it, expecting nothing thereof. And there's just it's going to come back. If you believe in karma or whatever, right? And I think one of my favorite, I think I heard or read a quote from one of your teammates, Trey King, you talked about.
Yeah.
He transferred in every morning at 6:30. You were Mr. High Energy greeting everybody. And you're like, dude, man, it's 6:30 in the morning, right? What are you doing? Chill out. Yeah, but it's funny. Since I've left corporate, I've taken more of that. I love the mornings now, right? It is the energy. You're getting up to do what you want to do. And so, like I said, and the thing is, you walked onto a program, right? So you're putting all this, two parts, that one, that Iowa State actually takes that much care into who they're bringing into the walk-on. Maybe all Division I programs do that.
So when I would struggle with some at times gratitude. Like, man, I feel like I'm doing so much for the team. Sometimes I don't feel like they're as thankful. But in reality, that was my own fault, and I needed to have more gratitude for being there because they get thousands of emails a year from kids to join the team. Thousands. There are so many qualified people, way more qualified than me, who want to do that job and want to be on the team, and they don't get selected. And there's other stories of, like, when I was getting ready to go play basketball again, there was other schools who were interested and that I was being connected with, and they'd be like, hey, by the way, our walk-on is booked up for 5 years. So, like, Brett Trainer's son, who is a booster at this university, his son's a freshman in high school at, you know, Damascus Catholic. Hey, we're just going to let you know that he's going to be the walk-on in 5 years if he wants it. If not, we'll give it to someone else. And so it is definitely a political world. And there's a lot of people who want to do that. And so they do take pride, because just like any team, if you bring someone in who's not elevating your standard, then they're taken away from it. And you cannot have that on your team, especially from the worst player. And I was the worst. Yeah.
Hard to believe.
No, it's true.
And I think, you know, you talk about the athlete, you said at KU, right? You had, right, it's a full-time job. It's, you know, you basically had a full-time job, but you were paying your way through the full-time job.
It's just
funny how the view of how you viewed your role or what your destiny was at KU versus ISU, and it changed your mindset, right?
Yeah.
I think, again, another lesson for folks that have been kind of stuck in the more corporate mindset for a while is, right, same athlete, different world, and attitude is 100% different. So,
it is.
All right, I'm also curious, again, we haven't had a ton of athletes come through, but I've always intrigued by the discipline that you've had to have, right, going through that. And how does that translate now that you're out, right? Because college is super structured. Like you said, you practice at this training table, classes, tutors, whatever that was. Now all of a sudden you're running your own show, right? Yeah. How does that translate? And what was, I guess where I'm really trying to ask you is what kind of process do you have now? Do you still have something you follow now that you're out? Okay.
Yeah. So one thing about that I love about my family growing up and then playing college sports is, like, discipline has been forever. That's all I've known. And so, like, to this day, Monday through Thursday, I wake up 5 a.m. and I work out till about noon. So I'm working out, recovering, I'll run, lift, swim. So those three things, Monday through Thursday, 5 a.m. to noon, eat a couple times, hydrate, do all that stuff from noon to 3. On those 4 days, I normally do work stuff, or I'll meet somebody for lunch or coffee, or I'll network, or I'll do some mental stuff, some breathing work, some exercises. I'm all into that. The weirder it is, the more I'm all in. And so I'll do that stuff. And then normally 3 to 8, I work Monday through Thursday nights. And then Fridays, I'll get up a little bit later. And instead of running, lifting, and swimming, I'll just run and I'll do like a fun workout that's like more hard. And it's not strength training. It's like, you know, hey, you're gonna do 100 of these and 100 of that. So I'll do something like that. And then I'll try to take time for the some fun stuff. And then, you know, I'll like spend time with my family and hang out with them and my friends on the weekend. And that's pretty much like Friday from noon until like Sunday at like 4 o'clock. And then I normally work Sunday to weekends are off physically and like resting, hydrating, recovering. And then I'll work like 4 to 8 on Sunday nights. And then I try to go to bed every night by 9 or 10 so I can sleep 7 to 8 hours a night. And it's still super disciplined. And it's, but I understand that not everybody can do that. Like some people have a wife or a husband or kids and stuff like that. And so you just have more stressors that you need to worry about. But for me, like really during that Monday through Thursday, I can focus in on if I fill my cup and I overflow me, then I can pour in other people. And this is what I need to do in order to do that. And so, yeah, keep the discipline the same.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think, again, that's one of the things I struggled with when I left, right? Because corporate is very structured because you're doing the meetings aren't all yours, right? 80% of your day are meetings that you're invited to and projects you're working on. So when I went solo, it went from kind of having a structured 9 to 5. I mean, it's called 9 to 5 for a reason. Then out, I have complete flexibility, right? I can work out in the mornings late. And it was chaotic for me because I was getting nothing done because there was no structure. Then I completely over-indexed where I was basically scheduling every half hour. All right, this is the 2 hours for workout. Then I'm going to do this. That didn't work for me either. Now I've gotten to where I've got time blocks.
Good.
And it's set. Early morning's my highly productive time, workout mid-morning, and other. So I, again, pointing out for the audience that if you're still stuck in this 9 to 5, this is a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Right? That you can define the day the way you want, the way it works for you. So what are you, we talked a little bit, you're doing some speaking, some motivational, you're also working with kids. So what's one, what are you working on now? Two, and what's the big goal? What's the big, what are you thinking?
Yeah. So, I want to, really get good at the speaking stuff and I love it. And it's the only thing in my life that I've ever found a skill in. And some stuff I've worked really hard at to get okay at, and I've been able to do that. And other stuff I'm just not good at, which is the majority of things. But speaking, I go up there and I'm like, don't forget what I'm saying. Don't mess up my words. I can deliver a message. I can tell stories. I can interweave stuff. And I can make somebody, I can engage people. Love to do that. And so any and every opportunity, and it doesn't matter, you know, if it's in Kansas City, Ames, Des Moines, Oregon, Florida, I don't care. I want to speak to as many people as I can. And I've given 30 plus speeches. And so I'm really working on just getting some video and some content out there and whatnot and stuff like that. And then the stuff I do in Kansas City, it's rolling. It's doing its job as far as that stuff goes. And I'll continue to grow that. And then I do have a camp, an Iowa State camp, and like a Christmas holiday camp in Ankeny that I'll do this year. But other than that, I just love to speak. And I want to do as much of that as I can. And it fills me with joy. Like a lot of people want to speak because of money. And I'm speaking so I can get paid X amount of dollars for this many hours of work. But I like to speak because you get to go into a crowd of people who know nothing about you. And they've probably heard what you've said 1,000 times. And you're not going to tell them anything original. Yet every time I speak, there's somebody who just goes, whoa, I cannot believe you said that. And you see their face light up and you feel it hit them. Because that happens to me on my day-to-day life. Every day I feel like somebody changes my life and I love it. I love it. And I love being able to give that to other people. And that right there is like the best feeling you can have as a human being, to see some, but the light bulb go off in someone's head, know that you inspired them. And then really after the speech, people will come up and have one-on-one conversations with you. Like I spoke to a community the other day and there was, let's just say a 16, 17 year old girl came up to me and she was visibly nervous to ask me her question. And she asked me a question on anxiety. And I was like, you know, first off, it's all good. I'm not going to judge you. I can tell that you're nervous. Guess what? I just spoke in front of all you guys, this entire town. I'm nervous too. And I was scared the whole time. You see my armpits? They're very sweaty. But guess what? You know, how to deal with anxiety, you got to take action. So the things that are bothering you, you need to take action on. And that's how you crush it. And to get to see her walk through that, like I never would have got to talk to a 17-year-old girl from Jessup, Iowa, had I not done speaking. Like, that's why I love it. And so that's my goal.
Well, and you need to be heard, right? I'm a big fan of difference, right? It's, everybody's saying the same things, but one, you've lived it already in your youthful life, right? You still got a long road ahead of you, which is awesome.
Yep.
But you stood out, right? That you got on my radar just because of you were doing things a little bit differently. You're doing things you think you would wish more people would do, but they're not embracing it like you have at this age. I had somebody on the podcast, Greg Budansky, not too long ago. He's maybe a year or two. He left investment banking to open a gym. Now he trains kids, right, through high school and how to get them. Because that's the purpose wasn't there with the investment banking. And now he's doing it. So I appreciate you taking the time. Is there anything we didn't cover? Any other parting words of wisdoms for folks that are sitting in their cubicles listening to this saying, man, life's too short. I got to get out.
It's everybody's first day. I love that analogy. Like everybody's had a first day. Everybody's been nervous. Everybody's been scared. Everybody's been tired. Everybody, your problems are not specific to you. And your worries and everything is not specific to you. And a lot of people like to glorify their problems. And they want to tell people about how hard their life is for a lot of times problems they create for themselves. And then they want to feel sympathy in order to feel good about their life. When in reality, we all deal with the same crap. And I don't care if it's super bad or not very bad, it's the same in our mind. If you can be the person to shut that out, move without feel, and chase what you know is serving your purpose, you're going to live a super fulfilled, purposeful, awesome life. And then when you die, you're not going to sit there and cling to your bed praying that you could do it over again. You're going to go home like a hero who's dying. And this is the end of your story. And I love that. And if you try and live your life that way, man, it's going
to
be
never too early to start. And the last thing I'll leave on this, you may be 22, but you know what you've done that 90% of people don't do? You took action.
Yeah.
Right. You actually did. You went to Ames. You decided to do this, where a lot of us just get paralyzed, don't take action, and we end up in the same Groundhog Day as we talked about. So Conrad, I really appreciate you taking the time, adding some perspective, adding some youth to this podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And good luck with everything. We'll keep post. We'll keep an eye on you, see what you're up to. Okay. And you have to come back at some point and update us once you really get this thing rolling.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Connor. Have a good rest of your day. I've got to add, what's the best place for people to get a hold of you?
Just
can't have you come all the way on here and then not promote where you're at.
You can just reach out to me on LinkedIn. Look up my name, Conrad Hawley. You can also Google me. I have my contact information out there. I'm not saying that in a cool way, but that's where you can find me.
It's out there. His bio, the website. Help make sure it's in the show notes. People can find it. So, Conrad, appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.